Church bells still summon the faithful to the start of worship. And you can still hear them ring out on special occasions in certain town squares. But these days, the dulcet tones of handmade bells and chimes are increasingly drowned out by electronic gadgets. As Jennifer Mitchell reports in our latest installment of Once Upon a Job, there is one man in Maine who staked his livelihood on the vanishing craft of bell making.
Dick Fisher has been making bells for almost 50 years now.
There was no magic moment when I said, I'm going to make bells.
But at an early age, he did know that he was attracted to the more traditional ways of life.
I grew up on South Shore, Massachusetts, and I used to go into Boston a lot. And there was always you'd see three or four people with push carts, one guy selling chestnuts, another guy, you know, grinding a hurdy-gurdy.
That seemed appealing to Fisher, who at 24 was still trying to figure out what to do with his life. He'd always liked to work with his hands, and he was fond of some bells his mother had brought back from China. So he got the idea of hammering and welding pieces of steel into simple handmade bells for sale. Then he nailed together a pushcart, got himself a peddler's license, and spent the summer of 1970 making and selling the little steel bells to passersby in Copley Square.
As time went on, I figured out that there was limitations to the hammered steel bells. It kind of sounded like cowbells, kind of funky. So I decided I wanted to learn casting to make bronze bells.
Bronze could make more beautiful tones, and that was important to Fisher. He began studying with a bell maker and found he had both an interest and an aptitude for the craft. He began selling his bells at craft shows, and in 1985, he and his wife Cindy moved to Maine, where they opened a foundry. Here at U.S. Bells in Prospect Harbor, what started as a simple peddler's cart has grown into a sizable and noisy workshop where Fisher casts everything from tiny tinkling chimes to big, deep-voiced bells that can be heard across many acres. He's also been called upon to make important historical replicas, including one of what's often referred to as Canada's Liberty Bell, given in goodwill to the people of Prince Edward Island, where it now hangs over the harbor at Charlottetown. The original, something of a sore spot with some Canadians, hangs in Gouldsboro, Maine.
See that tongs leaning on the wall over there?
These days, Fisher has a pair of apprentices who tend the noisy furnace and pour the liquid bronze into the molds.
It's going to have, when it's full, about 100 pounds of bronze. I'll melt it, and the bronze will be up to about 2,200 degrees Fahrenheit.
The process, says Fisher, is fairly basic. He sketches a design, then makes a wooden template around which a special sand mixture is packed to form a mold into which the liquid bronze is then poured. When cool, the mold is opened, the sand is tapped out, and with it comes a rough bell that will be finessed and polished.
If we get one that doesn't sound good, it never turns into a production pattern. And that's happened.
Like all bell makers, Fisher has relied on knowledge that's been shared across generations, and he's traveled as far away as Japan to learn specific bell-making techniques. But as bells are replaced by other things, there are fewer craftspeople to share the skill. This year, one of the world's oldest bell foundries closed its doors after nearly 500 years. Citing a decline in the need for old-fashioned bells, the Whitechapel Bell Foundry in London went silent. Fortunately, though, one of the most recognized and most loved bells it ever produced, Big Ben, still chimes regular as clockwork on the hour. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Jennifer Mitchell.